Let's talk a little NHL, a little goaltending and more. Crease Lightning with Kevin Woody from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Woodley, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little road weary. It's been a long day of flights home from, believe it or not, Madison, Wisconsin, of all the places to go to attend a truly international goaltending coach symposium. Had representatives of over 12 countries there, so just coming home from that today.
Really? So what did you guys talk about at the goaltending convention? Is it ways to make the game less fun? Is that what top of the list was?
Pretty much we just bitch about how everyone says it's all our fault and make the gear smaller. It's, you know, get around a fire, do a little dance, complain about the complaints about us. No, it's honestly, it was really good. It's put on by a company called Network Goaltending. Mike Valley of the Dallas Stars is a part of it. David Alexander, Canadian coach who works for the Syracuse Crunch, Tampa Bay Lightning, director of goaltending development role. Thomas Magnusson, the director of goaltending in Sweden, and Hannu Nyquist, the director of goaltending in Finland. And so they put this on, they make presentations, and goalie coaches, like I said, 12 different countries represented, Norway, Germany, Switzerland, all come to kind of share ideas, share concepts, listen to these guys speak, round tables, equipment, techniques, the mental side of the game, pretty much the reason goaltenders dominate, because they do things like this. They are constantly learning from each other. There's a camp that started today. I couldn't stay for it, where 10 NHL goalies now come into Madison to work with those four coaches on the ice and help get them ready from the season. And again, taking little bits and pieces from each coach. The Swedes, so good with their post-integration. Really kind of, you know, you hear me talk a lot about reverse VH. I mean, that's pretty much where modern reverse VH started 6 years ago in Sweden. The Finns, so well known for their hands. And so for these 10 NHL goalies, they get a viewpoint. And for all the coaches that come to the symposium, they get to sort of share all the viewpoints and the philosophies and a little bit of technical and a little bit of drills. And don't dismiss the work. I mean, David Alexander, a couple fantastic presentations as well. From the Lightning organization, Mike Valley. It really is, as Johan Hedberg, who was there last year but not this year, told me, it is heaven for you goalie geeks. I think he meant it as a compliment. So, and you know, we talked about shooters, Jason. We've talked about shooters coming to goalie schools and increasingly seeing that. We talked about it last week with Mark. The Net 360 camp I was at with all the NHL goalies, how they brought in NHL shooters and NHL shooting coaches to make sure that everybody's learning off each other, how to beat each other, but also keeping the level of competition up. Well, this camp, they brought in Ron Johnson, who is a Vancouver-based skills shooting coach who works with Joe Pavelski, Ryan Kessler, a bunch of the Sharks now through Pavelski, Marlowe, Hurdle, a number of big-name players. Actually, to be honest with you, bit of a, I guess, mini scoop for your Edmonton fans, has started working this summer with Jordan Eberle. And this guy, he breaks down shooting the way all these other goalie coaches do goaltending, right down to biomechanics, deceptive releases, how you hold the hands, where your power comes from, how to fool a goalie, how to just all kinds, everything that goaltenders do, this shooting coach does it. And so Eberle's been working with him this summer, and it was fascinating to see the back and forth between all these goalie coaches and this guy who, you know, frankly may be one of the leaders in terms of how to exploit goaltending. And to see the back and forth and the give and take and learning off each other was kind of neat to be a part of as well. And aptly named, the segments the discussions he led were aptly named Behind Enemy Lines. So pretty cool weekend, and I was happy to be a part of it.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, can you give us the latest update on the goalie equipment, the changes or potential no changes?
Well, I was hoping to actually give you, well, not hoping because I don't want changes, but hoping because I was led to believe maybe we'd finally have a once and for all answer, so you wouldn't have to keep asking me every single week, and I wouldn't have to keep looking every single week. I had heard that the equipment companies expected to be told by today whether it was proceeding or not, and there was actually some buzz a little bit that leaked out. I saw one person claim they had a source on Twitter saying it had been confirmed there would be no changes this year. But as much as I would love to tell you that's the case, just so we can put it to rest for a while, it's not. Checked with an NHL source who is very close to this, and they have not given up on it yet. There will be a push still to get the pants done for this season, and maybe parts of the chest and arm, certainly not all of it, not going as far as they want, but a little nip and tuck here, maybe the smaller arm pieces. That's the one thing about a chest and arm unit. Not all the companies, but certainly some of the companies, a lot of the companies, have the ability, the arms are removable, they attach to the chest unit with Velcro strapping. And so part of this push has been to make the arm pieces smaller, more rounded, less square through the biceps and forearm, less square and not as big in the elbows with the elbow floaters. And so the possibility that maybe that gets pushed through, we'll see. Nothing's been agreed to, but certainly, if nothing else, if people are talking about it being a done deal, that nothing's happening this season, as much as I think we maybe have crossed that point of no return for the start of the season, that isn't necessarily the case, and the league hasn't given up on making at least parts of it a part of this year, maybe even right out of the chute.
So right now, though, it looks more likely there'll be no changes. That's safe to say?
I've kind of been saying that for a few weeks now. Honestly, Jason, July 22nd, I think, was the first time I told you I'd heard that, you know, from a goalie that had heard it from, you know, through the Players Association, that there would be no changes this year. And they were pretty adamant about that. And that was, you know, 5 weeks ago now. So definitely from the outside, it looks like that's the case. But like I said, I can tell you that the league isn't there yet. They're not willing to concede that nothing happens this season. So, you know, again, it's kind of an update, a non-update. I was hoping to actually have a one way or the other on this, and I expected that if I was going to get that, it would be a no. But they're not ready. They're not there yet. And, you know, I had heard last week when I was in Kelowna from several people talk that, you know, they expected a push for the pants to still be a part of this season. And so it appears that even though it hasn't been confirmed, even though there's still resistance to it, that's still something they hope to accomplish.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Now, Kevin, we are basically a week away from the training camps for the World Cup. They'll have a few preseason games, and then they'll get into the tournament right away. And it's going to be, you know, basically the best of the best, excluding a few guys that are they're injured or coming off injuries and aren't 100% healthy yet, like Jamie Benn and others. From a player standpoint, goaltenders that you've talked to, like Carey Price having not played as long as he did, and then to come in like this, like, do they have to change their preparation? Because, you're kind of going to go from slow and boom right into these games, whereas usually a preseason game, you know, especially the first two, you know, are much slower for goaltenders than, you know, even the sixth or eighth preseason game. But I'm guessing the pace of these World Cup games will be basically like a regular season game or maybe a playoff game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A lot of guys have had to change their off-season preparations. I talked to Corey Schneider a couple weeks ago about that. And, you know, a lot of focus on Carey Price's injury, a lot of people forget that Corey had groin or core muscle surgery not until May either. Like, they actually tried to shut him down and rest it and hope it got better after the season, and it didn't. So they didn't actually get in there and fix it until early May, lost a month of rehab time, now has a short summer to get ready for what is going to be an explosive start for the goaltenders. The only thing, I mean, like you said, they're I think, what, camp opens on the 4th or the 5th, physicals on the 4th, first practice on the 5th. And then the U.S. and Canada play a pre-tournament game on the 9th. Now, there may not, even though that's not the official, that's a preseason, quote-unquote, game for the World Cup, that's Canada-USA. And maybe the defense won't be as gritty or as tight out of the chute, but I guarantee you the scoring chances in the offense probably will be. And so for goaltenders, that means you got to be ready to go like 4 or 5 days after training camp, you've got to be ready to fully extend, explosive pushes, you know, truly the potential for wide open, dynamic, reactive movements right out of the chute. And for Corey, that meant changing some of his off-season approach, tapering his strength training maybe a little earlier, and making sure he got into more of a scrimmage-type atmosphere with other NHL players near his hometown in Boston a lot sooner than he normally would have. Everybody kind of approaches it differently. Most guys spend the summer focusing on technical, and then some guys avoid sort of that. Most of those pro skates almost resemble an NHL practice nowadays. Like, they actually bring in guys to run practice structures. Not that practice is always good for goalies, but it looks like an NHL practice, and then they finish with a scrimmage. Some goalies avoid that entirely because it is so wide open and they don't want to build bad habits. Some goalies use it to sort of get their game reps heading into training camp. I've done all my physical work, my body's strong, I've done my technical work, my movement patterns are strong, I feel good about my technique. Now let's just go out there and play and kind of get into the rhythm and feel of the game. So the guys that do use that as a tool have had to start early, and they've had to taper off of their regular off-season routines earlier than they normally would have because they can't afford, in Corey's words, you would normally go into training camp, and if you had 3 or 4 days in a row on the ice for the first time in a practice situation, and you got a little sore, something got a little tight, hips, knees, groin, you take a day off. Shut it down for a day, let the third or fourth stringer take that preseason game or whatever. There's a chance to warm yourself into a season and pace yourself. They don't have that opportunity. So as Corey said, it's on him, it's on them to make sure they're ready for that wide open backdoor tap in and that fully extended explosive sort of movement across without having to worry about a groin popping or a knee twisting or anything like that. So they have altered their routine. Now, Carey doesn't do a lot of technical work in the offseason. As a matter of fact, that day he had with us, the Day with Carey Price contest with Eli Wilson Goaltending and Ingle Magazine, was one of the few times in the summer where he's out there really doing technical drills. And for the most part, he was just demonstrating them for kids that had either bid or won for the chance to spend the day with him on the ice. He really, where other guys sort of try to avoid the shinny, that's what he does mostly in the summer. And so he's been doing that for a while now and looks fine. That may bode well for him heading into the World Cup because it's the same way he approaches any start of a season. And there is a lot more open chances and a lot more rhythm and flow and gameplay type situations. So that coming off a year where he didn't play, it shouldn't be that different for him. Technically, it will be interesting. He looked, as I said last week with Mark, I mean, there was nothing that was hindering his movement. As he repped out these drills and demonstrated these drills for the kids, they got more complex. A lot of strenuous ankle, knee straining movement in and out of the posts and fully extended stretches off of it that he executed without problem. Technically, was it as clean, as good as he is, was it as clean as Carey at his best? Maybe not. There might be a little rust there, maybe a few little movement patterns that Stefan Waite will have to adjust, and there won't be much time to do that. But the good news for Habs fans and for fans of Team Canada is physically he looks fine. And in terms of his normal summer routine, everything's just starting earlier, but for him, the approach that other guys are altering to get ready for the World Cup, that's his approach every year. So I don't think it's going to be as big a shock to him as it might be for some other guys.
Should be interesting, and I'm curious, lastly, having talked to the goalies, and if the pants thing still tries to come in, I know you talked about it, it becomes more of a comfort issue than anything else. Will there be any pushback from, like, the NHLPA? Could they say, no, this is too late? Like, do you know what the rules is? Like, was there anything in place that they needed a certain amount of time to get this gear? Like,
They would like to have had it long before now. Most of the guys I talked to, including Carey, said 2 months. You know, like, at the absolute latest, everything ready to go on August 1st. But then other guys who start their training in July say they should have it for July and August to get ready to start the season. So we're way past the point of where the players, the goalies themselves, are going to find this acceptable notice. And I do expect them to push back through the PA. I think that's part of what's happening here and why we don't have anything is that pushback because of the lack of testing and testing time. There are no rules, though, Jason. There's no guideline in place to say, hey, you can't make a change unless the goalies have it with X number of days.
Okay.
Nothing like that exists. All it is the NHL and the PA and, you know, a process that has been very cooperative for an entire year right till they got to the finish line. And I would imagine there's some sensitivity there in terms of do we ram it down their throats or do we concede a little bit and try and make sure we get it right when it's ready. I'm not in those conversations, but yes, the goalies are not going to be happy if any part of it goes through at this point without any time to work on it. And again, as I've said before, used to be the third or fourth stringers that would get it after the season started, and they could complain all they wanted, nobody listened. But this year it's different. This year it's the best in the world at the World Cup. 1 week after it ends, they got to go into the regular season. And now you'll be asking them to change their equipment on 1 week's notice. They have a little more pull, a little more power, a little more voice within that PA. And so the pushback, I think, gets a little more momentum because of the people that will be driving it are the best in the game. Not, like I said, it's happened in the past. The AHL guys don't get their new pad with the pad height. Like, guys were getting pads that were 2 inches shorter than anything they'd ever worn before during training camp. But they were the AHL guys or the third stringers, and even though they were fighting for jobs and fighting for careers, nobody cared. So this time it's the best. And I think that when the pushback comes, the fact it's those voices carries a little more weight.
Always good stuff, Kevin. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jason. Talk to you soon.